straddling Tennessee and Georgia, Chickamauga, Chattanooga National Military Park was formed in 1890 as America's first national park dedicated to the preservation and commemoration of a Civil War battlefield. The bloody Battle of Chickamauga in the fall of 1863 is intertwined with the careers of Confederate and Union generals Rosecrans, Bragg, Hooker, Sherman, Longstreet, Thomas, and Ulysses S. Grant, along with fierce firefights that occurred on Lookout Mountain and Missionary Ridge. I'm your host, correspondent Tom Wilmer. Come along and join us at Chickamauga National Military Park as Resource Education Park Ranger Christopher Young shares his insights and expertise about the Civil War and the battle for the strategic control of Chattanooga in September 1863. Ranger Christopher Young.
My name is Christopher Young, and I'm a Resource Education Park Ranger here at Chickamauga and Chattanooga National Military Park, the oldest and largest national military park in the United States, founded in 1890. We're here in northwest Georgia in Fort Oglethorpe, and we'll be discussing the overall campaign of Chattanooga and discussing the importance of Chickamauga and Chattanooga National Military Park today. In 1889, about 15,000 veterans come back together to begin the establishment process of this park. And by 1890, legislation is passed in the United States Congress that will establish the first national military park in the United States. And it is established here at Chickamauga and Chattanooga National Military Park. Today, the acreage is over 9,000 of preserved land. We have various units of the park, Chickamauga Battlefield, Lookout Mountain Battlefield, Missionary Ridge, Orchard Knob Reservation, Signal Point Reservation, and our newest addition in 2003 with Moccasin Bend National Archaeological District. It's about 750 acres and it spans 12,000 years of human history. So it's a real honor and joy to have that as an addition to Chickamauga and Chattanooga National Military Park as well. The park here in 1863, September the 18th of 1863, to be exact, the Union Army and Confederate armies fight 2.5 day battle here at Chickamauga beginning on the 18th of September.
What was the strategic importance? Why did it come to a head here?
The main importance is the city of Chattanooga. Just like interstates today that take goods from point A to point B, you had four major railroads that intersected in and around the city of Chattanooga. So those rail lines are very important. The Tennessee River, which flows through the city, is of major importance as well. And that shouldn't surprise us that Abraham Lincoln in 1863 will say taking Chattanooga is just as important as taking Richmond. And so if we think of what's happening in Richmond, Virginia, with laws being passed, with the Congress, with the President, with the Treasury, we get a sense for just how important this little 2,500-person city is in 1863 to the overall war effort. By that time, the city is becoming known as the gateway to the Deep South, the way that it can be a corridor, a funnel that Union troops can go through to hit at the heart of the Confederacy in Atlanta, further south into Selma, Alabama. So it's that kind of natural corridor between the mountain gaps and passes. And so this entire battle is fought over the strategic importance of Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Interesting. Today we have a regiment here from North Carolina that actually participated in the battle, and here they are back.
We do. There are several reenactors here from the 58th North Carolina unit that was engaged at Chickamauga. We try to bring groups in that are associated with the battles, and almost every weekend in the summer we have some sort of living history taking place going on here on the battlefield to kind of give visitors a sense of what it may have looked like, the smell of the smoke, the noise of the artillery or of the infantrymen's guns firing off, and kind of getting them acclimated to what this battle may have been like, even though it's on a much smaller level. I think we have maybe 12 guys here from the 58th North Carolina, as opposed to the over 100,000 or so that are in the area in 1863. It was so loud during the battle that if you were about 50 miles south of here in Rome, Georgia, you could hear the engagement of the battle here.
Of the cannons.
Yeah. The Rome newspaper at the time says that there's a tremendous thunderstorm occurring somewhere to the north. So they even believe that it was a thunderstorm somewhere north of them, and it was actually the Battle of Chickamauga occurring here.
The reenactors off to the right that are walking our way, they are going to engage in a battle today, right? Are they going to follow recreating history?
We have groups that come that wear the uniform of the soldiers that participated in the battles back then as closely as possible. They use weapons as closely as they can to the originals that were used here at the Battle of Chickamauga. They'll be doing talks and demonstrations here at the visitor center where we're located, not out on the battlefield where the actual regiment was, because a lot of these regiments, if you look around or come and visit the battlefield, you'll notice it's heavily wooded. And so we're not going to send somebody out in the middle of the woods here to try to find these 12 guys. So we're trying to make it as easy as possible for the visitors to be able to listen to their demonstrations and learn history here.
And I understand that you have a group of artillerymen here too today.
We do have volunteers and park employees that participate in our artillery crew. We have a 3-inch ordnance rifle, one of the more popular guns by 1863 in the Union Army, and what the Confederates could capture of them or produce in small numbers themselves. And so we do artillery demonstrations here as well to give people the idea of the concussion and just the sheer velocity of an artillery piece during the Civil War.
What it actually would sound like, yeah.
Exactly.
And how daunting.
And just one gun versus the hundreds that are going off here during the battle in September of 63.
It's interesting, we are in the Deep South right now, and this is very much the land of the Confederacy. It's a very different feeling than being at Gettysburg or being at Manassas. There's much more of a sense of the North, you know. And how do you see that differential as a park ranger who has spent time in the North and the South?
You know, it's definitely a different makeup of individuals because you're in a different geographic location. There aren't that many people that understand the Battle of Chickamauga here, and many of the soldiers that are fighting here, they're not the eastern seaboard soldiers that you think of at places like Manassas and Gettysburg. Most of the Union soldiers and even the people that visit here are from the Midwestern states. And so you have Michigan soldiers, soldiers from Minnesota, Illinois, Iowa. The troops that are here, especially those that are fighting on the northern side, are much like those that are fighting on the southern side. Most of them are coming from a farming background and not the industrial background that we think of.
So a lot of commonality then.
There are, especially in these battles that are in the Western theater is what we call it. You have a lot of those commonalities, just as you said, through both sides of the armies, because they have that commonality with the ground and the soil. Most of them are farmers and have a farming background. So they do have much in common, much more than what we think of Civil War soldiers having in common.
But there's also the perspective of what the war was about. And I was talking to an older gentleman on top of Lookout Mountain yesterday, and I alluded to something of Civil War period. And he goes, oh, yeah, the war of aggression of the North. That's what he calls the Civil War.
People call it the War of Northern Aggression, the War between the States, the Civil War. Officially, when Congress comes out with the books that most of us refer to all the reports and the official reports after the war, Congress entitles that the Official Records of the War of the Rebellion. And so officially, even though it has all of these other names, in print, especially by Congress after the war, it's known as the War of the Rebellion.
Fascinating, because it's absolutely antithetical to the War of Aggression.
It is. You know, you have to ask, who is the aggressor in the war? Is it the South that fires first on Fort Sumter, or is it Lincoln and trying to bring in supplies on the Star of the West to Fort Sumter? So, you know, you can kind of twist that any way that you want, whether it's one way or the other.
Is there the operative to the victor goes the right to write history?
In some cases, but I believe that we've done a fairly good job at writing history. This war was an economic war centered upon the institution of slavery. It was a war over the rights of the states. One of the veterans that comes back here in 1895 at the dedication, who is an Alabama soldier, a colonel who fought at Gettysburg, William C. Oates of the 15th Alabama, fighting here at Chickamauga a few months later in 63, comes back in 1895, and he kind of brings those two terms together, saying that everyone knows that the war was fought over the institution of slavery, but that it was the rights of the states to be able to do what they would with that institution, to expand it, to keep it legal inside of its borders.
So basically back to states' rights is the common denominator there.
It is. And his thinking is he molds the two together. Mm-hmm. It's the right of those states to be able to determine the future of the institution of slavery. Mm-hmm. So even though slavery is that underlying factor, for those individuals that come here that talk about states' rights, I try to give them a different spin on it and say, well, look at what Oates says in 1895. He doesn't deny that it's over slavery, but he puts that states' rights mentality in there as well. So it is the right of the states, mm-hmm. but what is it the right of those states to be able to do?
Right.
And it's to control slavery.
Mm-hmm. The big picture, the here and now. Here you have one of the most fascinating and the oldest national parks dealing with the Civil War battles. Tell us about what somebody would see and do and what you have to offer.
We do have several options to take, especially in the summer seasons. We have ranger-guided tours, car caravan style. You can come to the visitor center here at Chickamauga, which is located in Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia, and take this tour out onto the battlefield, following a park ranger in your own car, getting out at several spots on the battlefield, really getting a feel for what the soldiers endured here during those 2.5 days in 1863. Also, we have, like we talked about earlier, living history programs.
It's almost every weekend?
This is every weekend.
Wow.
We almost have every weekend soldiers coming, but every weekend this summer we'll have artillery demonstrations, except for one weekend in June and July when our artillery piece will be heading to Kennesaw Mountain National Battlefield and Stones River National Battlefield for some anniversary programs at those places. But we have those programs, the living histories. We have the car caravan style ranger tours that go out on the battlefield. We have an orientation video here that runs 23 minutes. And we have fiber optic maps in the visitor center. We also have the Fuller Gun Collection, which is one of the most extensive long arms collections in the world. Mr. Claude Fuller donated it in the 1950s. We have 346 long arms,
wow,
spanning all the way back from 1620 to the early 1900s. So we have a vast array of military shoulder arms that you can come in and take a look at here at Chickamauga Battlefield as well.
Right now, this morning, in the here and now, I feel like you and I are in the middle of a rebel southern camp. I feel very deep in the South, and I'd be shocked if I saw a Union soldier show his head. Are there any Union troops in the vicinity?
Well, the artillery that's on the other side of the visitor center here will be doing Union artillery. That will be dressed in Union uniforms.
Do they come in a different entrance here?
Well, they are on the opposite side of the visitor center.
So you keep them separate.
We try to keep them separate as much as possible. No, most of these units that come out to participate in Living Histories, they have uniforms for both sides.
You do have reenactor troops that come here that are in the Union garb.
We do. Uh-huh. We do, definitely. And most units, whether they're coming from the North or coming from the South, they portray both sides, because for most of them, it's not who's right or who's wrong, but it's telling the story. It's telling the truth now about what's going on the battlefields.
So most of these guys, their passion is Civil War history.
That's exactly right. Their drive is Civil War history, because most of these guys that are out here on any given weekend are volunteers. Mm-hmm. And so they're not getting paid to do this. And these
all
guys,
their authentic uniforms, they make them or they create them themselves?
They do. Many people that do this now, they make their own uniforms or they have someone tailor make them for them.
Even the cloth, the wool is so real looking. Do they try and stay exact and true to the weaving and the threads? And
they do. There are people out there that devote most of their time to producing woolen material that is as close to 1860 specifications as we can make them. And so these guys buy the wool up and they'll make the uniforms themselves, have someone make them. Their shoes are leather. They're authentic. Not many people will bring the actual original items out here on the battlefield because of wear and tear.
Mm-hmm.
But people will go to museums. They'll study these garments. They'll study all of the leather goods, and they'll try to get it as close as possible, mm-hmm, to 1861 to 1865 as possible.
Well, they're doing such a great job. This is like Twilight Zone morning for me.
It is. We do have a few visitors originally from New York, so you do have some people here from up north.
Good. Well, maybe we should go ask them a quick question. Let's go do that.
All right. For someone actually coming down that would be wearing blue, that's why I turned to you all.
Your thoughts and your feelings about being here today?
It's sort of interesting because I know nothing very much about this battle, even the scope of it, the importance of it up north. We sort of thought that the war ended at Gettysburg, that the whole thing was over. You're finding out otherwise.
You have a special forces hat on. You were military?
Yes.
So this probably has double meaning for you.
Oh, yeah. I'm very much into this. I'm into the history. I'm into the weapons. I'm into the equipment. And it's very informative.
And your thoughts?
Actually, I'm learning quite a bit and getting a whole different perspective of what the war was all about, learning it from the South side. Different than what we learned in school growing up.
And your name?
Carol Hollins.
And your name?
Stan Hollins.
Thank you, guys.
You're welcome.
Okay, Christopher, for further information, if somebody wanted to find out more about the park.
For further information on Chickamauga and Chattanooga National Military Parks and the programs that we offer, you can visit our website at nps.gov/chch. My name is Christopher Young, and I'm a park ranger of resource education here at Chickamauga and Chattanooga National Military Park in Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia.
Christopher Young, thank you so much. What a pleasure. What a beautiful day and what a momentous day to go back in time.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomascwilmer.com. Our associate producers from the San Francisco Bay Area include Molly Blaisdell, Lori King, and Susie Rodriguez. Melissa Corbin reporting from Knoxville, Tennessee, Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, Kim Schneider from Michigan, Elaine Masters in San Diego, Julie Henning, Eugene, Oregon, Rebecca Bingham, Hot Springs, Arkansas, and Steve Cook contributing from Little Rock, Arkansas, host of Arkansongs on NPR affiliate KUAR.